Think about people who are like super faithful, like just always there, always. I've just been teaching those kids for as long as I've been coming to church here. You know, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. That's a blessing to have someone so faithful. Well, again, Pastor Mike's not here. Whenever Pastor Mike has plans not to be here, he instead of letting us continue with what he was teaching, which would be cool, he says, "Let the Spirit lead." And I'm always like, "Come on, man!" But you know, here's the thing: I always question myself. You know, am I listening intently? Am I doing what God wants, right? And then throughout the week, the more you study, the more God makes it super clear. And over the last 48 hours, like over and over and over again, when I walked in tonight, someone was just affirming that this is what we're going to study. And the prayer back here, it's like, okay, God, I get it. So that being said, I will tell you, I honestly thought I would never, ever, ever choose to teach from Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, or Psalms. It's like, nope, I'll pass on all those, just not my style, right? Every time I decide I would never, God steps in and says, not you, Steve, me. So tonight, we're going to be looking at Psalms. Several Psalms. And I don't know about you guys, but Psalms are always a comfort to me when I'm struggling, when I'm down. And we just got back from 2 weeks in Pennsylvania to see my oldest son, or my next to oldest son, Josh. And my daily devotions, you know, I read a couple chapters from the Old Testament. I read usually a Psalms or Proverb, and then I read something from the New Testament every day, right? And every time, like, it was good to be there, but there were some hard times there. And every time I read a psalm, it was like, okay, thanks, Lord. I needed that, right? I needed that in my heart. And it was comforting. So my prayer tonight is that the psalms that we read will bring some comfort to you guys. We're going to look at several short chapters tonight, but I thought we could start with Psalms 121. Psalms 121. And we'll be teaching tonight from the ESV. That's the version the pastor usually teaches from. I like to keep things the same, as much the same as I can. Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, thank you for the people that you have here, for your church. And I pray that you would speak to us tonight, Lord. I thank you so much for being so clear as to what you want to talk tonight. And I pray that it would come directly from you, that the Spirit would move and that we'd be comforted from your word. And we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your gift of salvation. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, if you'll notice, we're going to cover about 7 or 8 psalms tonight. They're all pretty short, but they're all in a group. And I don't know about your Bible, but if you look at Psalms 121, 20 through 134. The heading of the psalm, your Bible may say a song of degrees, or it may say, mine says a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, a song of ascents, okay? So all the psalms we're going to look at tonight are psalms or songs of ascents, okay? These were like marching songs for the people of Israel as they would go three times every year to Jerusalem to worship, right? When I started thinking about, and I was reading these, and I kept seeing that, you know, songs of ascents, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and find out what that's all about. And then I started thinking about these people marching to Jerusalem three times a year, singing these songs, right? Excited about getting together as a nation, going to the place where God said, I want you to come here to worship me three times a year. Traveling in large groups, singing these songs as they traveled. I thought that was a pretty cool picture in my mind's eye. So, Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody gathered together, and then on the way, they have this worship service, right? Where they're just singing. And then when they get there, they have a barbecue. They feast, right? And then the whole time they're there, just a total focus on God. Whole nation gathered to acknowledge that God reigns over their homeland. Could America ever use a little bit of that right now? Right? Now, I will tell you, and I told you already, but I'll tell you again and again and again, God was like, this is what I want you to teach, Steve. And some of this is super timely, right? I mean, like, you'll see. You'll feel it. So I'm thinking about them doing this march to Jerusalem, right? And you have to imagine they've got these 14 songs that they sing, right? You have to imagine there's some kind of cadence as they're marching, kind of like the military, right? I don't know, but I've been told, right? Left, right, left, right, left. So get that in your head, right? And like, according to Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, at times there were over 1 million people making this march. And these songs, right, bouncing off the hills as they went to Jerusalem. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. So let's read this one again. Let's break down Psalm 121. Psalm 121 starts in verse 1 with, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? So Jerusalem is, again, in the hills of, in the mountains of Jerusalem, up in the hills. So I lift my eyes up because I'm marching up. That's the ascent, right? The ascent things, I'm ascending. City, there's where I'm going to stand before God. I'm looking, which I think we should probably do more of. And then I sing, where does my help come from? Now, the second part of this verse, I lift my eyes up to the hills, from where does my help come from? Again, that's the ESV translation, right? I grew up with King James and the New King James. So the second part of this verse, if you read it from the King James, it's been kind of maybe misquoted and sometimes because in the King James it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. Okay, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. While it may sound like you're lifting your eyes to Jerusalem, where your help's coming from, that's not where your help comes from. Right? Your help doesn't come from Jerusalem. The second part of this verse, of verse number 1, is a question that maybe. We know that we put verses in here just to kind of help us find things. They weren't written with verses, right? But maybe the second part of this verse, where it says, from where does my help come? And by the way, there's a question mark there, right? So I lift my eyes up to the hills, from where does my help come? Maybe it should be grouped with verse 2. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker who made heaven and earth. Your help, my help, our help only comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Our help has to come only from the Lord. Now, I love the clarification here. And so we're back here praying before service. And at the last minute, I nudged Pastor Chris, like, you pray. And Pastor Chris is praying about the maker of heaven and earth. I was like, wow, okay. I love the clarification. And I think sometimes it's important that we define when we say God, because the world is full of little g gods, right? And depending on the company you're in, when you say God, they might not be thinking of what you're thinking of, right? So if we're going to be specific, Yahweh, the only true and living God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now you're defining God. That's the God that we worship. Okay? Verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So they're climbing in the mountains, right? You got to figure they're going uphill, and God had them climbing and is watching their movement. Just like he watches our movement every day, guides our steps, right? We never have to worry that God's going to miss one single step, because God is always attentive. God is never caught unaware. And guess what? God never sleeps. God never sleeps. The Bible clearly says right here, God does not need sleep or rest, right? And you might say, well, what about creation? What about the last day of creation? The rest, the Sabbath rest on the last day of creation was given for man's benefit. God didn't need to rest. God could keep creating as long as he wanted to create, right? God didn't need sleep. God wanted to give us a pattern of rest that's necessary for man's well-being. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Two things here. This is the first of several mentions that God is our keeper. An important point as we go along. And then maybe a small thing, but timely, at least for me, because it's been hot. And my house is hot. You know, we got back on Saturday, and it was almost 100 degrees at my house. And I was miserable. And then Sunday, you know, we were here most of the day Sunday, but when we got home, it was hot. It says the Lord's your keeper, and it says the Lord is your shade on your right hand. And I know, again, a small thing, but I've been praying for some relief. It's like, Lord, it's too hot. I'm miserable, right? And then all the rest of the week, overcast. I was talking to Craig earlier, and it's like, I mean, I feel bad for you guys to work outside, because, man, you know, I work inside, and it's too hot. God's got us even in the small thing, right? God is our keeper. I not only got you, I'll keep you. Is that cool? God is good. Are you feeling a little bit comforted yet? Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. More keeping. Keeping you from all evil. And there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of evil in our world. There's a lot of evil right here in this part of the state. I was kind of blown away when we came back here 7 years ago, you know. But I remember Pastor praying about, you know, the witchcraft that happens here. It's like, witchcraft? Yeah. There's a lot of evil right here. But God keeps you. He'll keep you from that. And then it says, He will keep your life. Who else could possibly keep your life? Who else? No one. I'd like to think, and I know sometimes, you know, trying to be a tough guy, I like to think I could keep my wife, you know, keep her life. And maybe I could, but I might fail too. God won't fail. God will keep your life. Verse 8, this is really cool. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So here's another keep, right? You'll keep my going in, my going out, and my coming in. And at first I was like, okay, you know, everywhere I go, right? Come in, go out, go home, come in, go out. And yeah, for sure, right? But it's more than that, right? God has kept me in my coming in to this world. You want some biblical proof? Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." God kept us before we came into the world. That little baby? God kept that little baby before she came into the world. And when you think about God keeping you, before you have any knowledge of it, and then, this is going to be kind of hard, but staying on that same vein, Psalm 139 came to my mind, and it's like, I'm just going to ask him to read that on your own time. Read that in your devotions. Read it when you get home. Do some homework. And the Spirit kept on saying, "Nope. I want you to read Psalm 139. This is an important passage to my family, to my wife. In our house, we know this is Sarah's psalm. Sarah was my wife's best friend. Friend Diane's mom, who went to be with the Lord some time ago, and always makes us think of her. So bear with me, it's the longest psalm we'll read tonight, and we're not going to break it down, but I think you may agree it's beautiful and fitting for our topic tonight. Psalm 139. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love that. I love that. And I hope it, if it's not already, it becomes as precious to you as it is to us. Okay? All right. Back to Psalm 121, back to our psalm that we started on. In verse 8, kind of got sidetracked there, chasing coyotes, sorry. It says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So we just read how God was there and kept us as we came in to the world, and will be right there and keep us when we go out of the world. That pretty much covers everywhere we would go. And then addresses not just where he would keep us, but when. From before I was born until forevermore. Forevermore means beyond physical death. Right? Forevermore means eternity. That's how long God's going to keep you. From before you were born until eternity. A promise. I was thinking about that idea of God keeping me through me exiting this world. And I couldn't help but think about the people and the families that have lost loved ones in this pandemic and not been able to be there at the hospital with them as they passed and perished alone. But if that were to happen to us, not alone. God says he'll keep you. Are you comforted yet? What a God. All right, let's go on. We're going to jump from Psalm 121 to Psalm 124. Next page for me. Psalm 124 says, again, a psalm of ascent. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. So, we know the Bible was written for us, right? Even though we just learned we're reading songs of ascents that were written by and for Israelites as they went to Jerusalem. But we know the Bible was written for us. And God included the Psalms in our Bible for us. Okay? So can we insert this right now? Here's what it says. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Let's say, let us say. Or more maybe even more specifically, let me say. If it had not been for the Lord, let me say. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side when people rose up against me, then they would have swallowed me up alive when their anger was kindled against me. I look back at my life and looking way back, right? But just recently, super recently, right? And even right now, this is timely. And I won't go into details about me, but I will ask you, is the anger of the world kindled against you? What have we seen in the last several months? You know, the whole back and forth about wearing a mask. The incredible anger that's going on with the Black Lives Matter thing. There's a lot of anger there. There's anger stirred up right now. But you need to know the Lord is on your side. When it feels completely overwhelming, don't forget, he's with you. And he'll keep you. I just read online a story about a principal that I work with here in New Mexico who posted on Facebook a photo and text that said, basically, if you don't break the law, the police will leave you alone. And, you know, for me, harmless, And, you know, from my eyes, true. But this guy is facing serious backlash, right? From his students, and from his parents, and even from the management at the superintendent's office. This guy is getting pounded. The anger is real. You know, for my ears, it's like, well, that sounds true to me. That makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me. But the anger is real. It's palpable. I can feel it. Verse 2. Again, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. This is not a time to be swallowed up. This is not a time to be overwhelmed, to give in and be swept away. We got to stand strong. We got to remember the fact that God is with you. God is going to keep you. You got to keep your eyes on him. Because there's a lot of things to distract, right? I mean, you can spend hours looking at all the stuff that's going on across the nation, across the world. But we need to remember, God is on your side. God cares deeply. And we need to look to him. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Again, you know, it's like, when that comes up, and we're going to hear, I think, one more time, it's like, oh, that's right. God made all of this. And I think about how big God is, you know? I mean, the earth is a big place. And I think about looking up, and I remember, you know, when I was younger, and maybe I still do, I won't tell you, but sometimes I look up at the sky, you know, and it's like, man, and I imagine God. And I imagine him, like, filling the whole sky, right? And that's huge. And it's like, nope, that's bigger than that. And I was like, God's too big for us to imagine. Maker of heaven and earth. Through all we go through all we're going through, we need to continue to look to and bless the name of the Lord our God, the true and living God, the maker of heaven and earth. Relief and escape from the rage around us lies in our looking to him. Is that comforting? Release. Relief. Escape. All right, let's move on. Chapter 127. Psalms chapter 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. So, again, timely, considering the times that we're living in, we know that our house, our city, our nation was built on a Christian foundation, right? And I think we can agree that at this point, as a country, we've totally turned our back on that. Agreed? Well, God says here that if we're not focused on him, our earthly labors are in vain. As a matter of fact, he repeats it 3 times, right? Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to bed late. Verse 2 takes, I think, a more personal look. And I got to tell you, you know, anytime I teach, you guys got to know, the first person I teach to is me. And I try not to say it too often, but, you know, when I'm teaching, I'm like, you know, like this guy first. So I tell you that I am, this is something I have to work on, right? Certainly lately, rising early and going to bed late in anxious toil, worrying about the state of things around me. That's me. And that's vain, right? That's a waste of your time. I needed to continue to turn to and look to the maker of heaven and earth for that rest, right? We started off in chapter 21 talking about rest. And I'm getting better. I used to have terrible insomnia. I'm getting better. But God wants us to rest, right? Again, that's what the seventh day was all about. You need rest. And I love that. I think it's only Wednesday nights. The last thing pastor prays for is that you get a good night's sleep. And that's cool. It's like, you know, like, thanks, man. I need a good night's sleep, pastor. All right, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So back to our picture, right? Here's the children of Israel marching to Jerusalem with their families, singing this song. Looking over at their kids, kicking rocks, right? Being crazy, hopefully singing with them, right? That is a treasure, right? That's a reward. That's just a cool, for me, that's a cool thing to think about, right? God reminds us in these verses how blessed we are with the gift of our children. And again, here I'm studying this. We just got back from Pennsylvania. We went to Pennsylvania to see our son Josh. We have been a nuclear family of four for a long time. Me and Alex and Josh and Hannah. You know, no tios and tias and primas and primos. Just us, that's it. And we lost one of our nuclear family. Josh went to Pennsylvania right before the pandemic hit, so it was important for us to go back and see him, right? Anyways, I'm studying this, and it's like, oh, man, God, you've really blessed me. And God was like, I know. That's why I want you to teach from Psalms. Keep going, right? Our kids are a direct gift from the Lord, a holy heritage. Now, this is super important to me as I look at what my father instilled into me. And what I truly desire to instill into Josh and Hannah, a holy heritage of following Jesus, is my desire for my kids and for my kids' kids, should Jesus tarry. Thank you, Lord, for my children. What an amazing gift they are. I'm blessed and comforted with the children that God gave me. And I miss when they were babies. And miss it. So enjoy. All right. We'll move on now to chapter 130. Psalms 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If God is our help in troubled times, we are to be sure that we're turning to him when we experience trouble. Now, again, I will tell you, I'm teaching to me because I have a tendency, and if you guys, you may have heard this before, but I will tell you again, and it's not easy to admit. Do you remember the posters of the little kitty holding on to the rope, like just the last thing of the rope, and I said, hang in there, baby, Friday's coming. Remember that? I have a tendency to wait until I'm at the very end of my rope to reach out to God for mercy. I'm kind of a fix it guy. It's like, I got this, I'm good, you know? And then I don't. And it's like, oh Lord, please, I need your help, right? That's not what God wants me to do. That's not what God wants you to do. God desires we reach out to him when we're in the depths of our troubles, but he much more desires that we reach out to him before we get there. As a matter of fact, God wants us to reach out to him continually, right? And it's a lot less miserable if you won't wait until you're miserable. Verse 3, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. So if the Lord was like men, and as his child, he kept a ledger of all my sins against him and against others, how lost would I be? How miserable and shamed would I be if it was like, at the end of the day, it's like, well, let's see what we got here, Steve, right? Aren't you thankful that with God, there's mercy, there's forgiveness? He not only doesn't keep a running tab on my sin, he promises to throw them as far as the east is from the west. Forgiven and forgotten. Oh, how comforted is the man whose sins are forgiven. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God's word, particularly here in the Psalms, provide mankind with hope. If the world would only take notice, this is the one thing that the world needs right now. Hope. The hope they seek is found in God's word. Sometimes you have to be patient and wait for it. Like a night watchman waits for the sun in the morning. But if you wait, hope comes in the morning, right? And with it, this psalm says steadfast love and plentiful redemption. That's what the world needs. Hope, steadfast love, redemption, forgiveness. And the cool thing is, it's there for us. We just need to reach out. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to purchase it. It's there. It's yours. That's comforting. All right? Shall we go on? Psalm 131. Psalm 131, another song of ascents. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So a humble approach in this song, I know who I am. I know what I am, and while my eyes are lifted up to you, it's not, I'm not being vain, right? I'm not being haughty. I'm looking to you because I know that, I know me. I know that me without God is going to fail every time. And then I love that, and it's just because it's, I know it's what God wants. If there's a little baby in here, right? God's plan for salvation is so simple. A little child can fully grasp what he did and what he desires of us. Humbly, simply, like a newborn child reliant on its mother, I'm coming to the only one who can help me. The only one. My hope is in you, Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And I'm going to come humbly and simply to you. That's comforting. Please tell me you're comforted like I am. The one who made the earth is going to be there through my entire life on the earth. The one who made heaven has made a place there for me to keep me through all eternity. What could be more comforting than that? And look, I know we're going through it right now. I know. But what we're going through, honestly, big picture, is nothing compared to what God has for us. It's nothing. We're going to look back on this and it's like, meh, you know? All right, almost done, okay? But I had to include chapter 133. And when I read chapter 133, just so you guys know, I really love our pastor's teaching. So like I always feel privileged, a little nervous, but I always feel privileged to be able to teach. But even when I'm teaching, I miss his teaching. So I've been listening to him I've been here for a long time, and I know some of the things that he teaches, and I pick up on some stuff, right? Let's see if you guys picked up on this. So 133, at first I thought it was just for pastor's sake, because I'm pretty sure that pastor loves the idea of God's blessings running down your head and through your beard. Right? You guys get that? And it's kind of weird, but it's like, okay, cool. So I had to read 133. And I thought, I'll just read it for pastor. And, you know, if he goes back and watches this, he'll laugh. But then after studying it and living through it this week, it's like, nope, God wanted us to include this chapter for all of his church, in particular for this church, for CCEV. So here's 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So, again, in our uncertain world, as I watch things unravel, I really think that unity in this group is paramount. It's super important that we stay united, that we don't let things divide us. If I think about what's happened from the beginning of this pandemic, virtual church, right? The decisions to do that, hard decisions, and weird at first, right? But we did it together, and we stuck through it together. And then parking lot church. I didn't want to do parking lot church. I really didn't want to do parking lot church. But we did it together, right? And then the mask thing, right? I hate wearing my mask, and I got to wear it for work, and I hate it. And now rioting and racial turmoil. Satan wants to divide us. Satan wants us to see this diversion he's creating, and he wants us to choose sides. Oh, I'm going to go that way, right? There's only one side. There's only one side and only one direction. We have to turn to the one who created it all, who sustains it all, who has it all in the palm of his hand. His blessing that he commanded for his children at the end of what we read here is life forevermore. That's what's in store for us. I can't think of anything that we're experiencing that could possibly compare to life forevermore in his presence, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he's got us. Tell me that's comforting. That's comforting, man. Like, I guess, you know, like I do, I stress out. And then God gave me this, and it's like, man, I'm good, right? I barely even worked today. I was just like, I'm good. I was just like, I went through this a couple times, like, man, I'm good. All right. So, if you're a stress monster like me, and you're still struggling, or if you see yourself struggling tomorrow, or in the days to come, I got a couple more verses. Just a couple more verses that I know have helped me with my anxiety that I shouldn't have. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Let's be unified. Let's be united, right? Let's not be moved. Because all the stuff that's going on, it's trying to divert you. It's trying to push you this way. It's trying to push you that way. It's trying to make us have different ideas about what's going on. No. Stay together, right? Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And finally, the words that Jesus shared with the disciples and with us in the upper room before he was arrested and crucified. And one of the things we know was important because it's one of the last things he shared. It's from John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That is good. God's got us, right? God's got us, man. I mean, I know this is weird. I know it's hard. And I know it's hard not to be distracted. I know it's hard not to worry. But we don't have, we are held and kept by the maker of heaven and earth. Nothing can touch us. He's got us. We just got to keep our eyes on him. Keep going to him. When things get weird, go right back to him. All right? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the Psalms, for the promises, for the fact that you've got us in the midst of this crazy world and all the things that are going on, that you've got us. Lord, we can't fathom why you love us like you do, but boy, are we blessed and thankful. Lord, please watch over all the folks that are here. Get them home safely. Give them a good night's sleep. Bring back our pastor safe to us, Lord. We love you. And thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Dismissed.